This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and into what stuff means, and help listeners understand why they should maybe give a crap. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his great team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. A Las Vegas startup called AdOmni represents the latest effort through the years to roll up digital out-of-home networks with the idea of making media buying and execution easy. Many have tried, few have succeeded, but here's what's different about AdOmni. First, they're primarily going after outdoor billboards, and they're not trying to be the buying and selling solution. You go through AdOmni online to buy the unsold inventory on these screens, and almost any media owner has unsold inventory. It's also different because the founders looked at the marketplace and what was already out there, and thought about the user base, and came up with a user experience that's about as visually friendly and dead simple as Airbnb. Instead of renting a basement apartment for a few days, a small business owner might rent time slots on some boards along a freeway near their main store. I spoke with one of the founders, Jonathan Gudai, over Skype from his office down near McCarran Airport. Jonathan, thanks for joining me. One of the things I noticed on your website for AdOmni is if I click on About Us, it says making billboards possible. What does that mean?
Sure. So the origin of AdOmni was to make the process to find and buy digital screens easier. Mm-hmm. And our business originated with large format billboards as the first screens that we added to the platform. And we saw a need in the market to just simplify the steps that an advertiser needs to go through to from the start to the finish of launching a campaign. And so we went with the making billboards possible as kind of an entree to, you know, opening the door to out of home to millions of more advertisers by making it simpler.
Mm-hmm. So if you had to sum up what AdOmni is about, you know, what's your kind of elevator statement?
Sure. AdOmni is a software platform that makes it easy and affordable for anyone to purchase out-of-home ad space.
And right now, it's neither easy or affordable?
Well, we, you know, that's our belief, that there are a lot of steps and a lot of time that's spent launching a campaign. And by leveraging like an e-commerce type of a platform and putting everything online, we see a huge opportunity to bring more advertisers into the market, and also to have existing advertisers find and buy their inventory more easily.
So is this aimed primarily at what you would call your hyper-local business people, as opposed to, let's say, a New York or Chicago-based media buying agency?
You know, we have built AdOmni to be usable for every size advertiser. Mm-hmm. We know that a lot of the big agencies control the out-of-home budgets and are placing ads today. And we think it's a value to them because now they can do their media planning and buying online and in a self-service way. And so that's certainly a big group that benefits from the platform. But then there is the hyper-local angle where, you know, over 90% of businesses in the U.S. are categorized as small and up until now have been shut out from out-of-home advertising, whether it's because of price or the process to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we see AdOmni as being a great solution for both sides, whether you're a small, you know, pizza place or coffee shop that's looking to increase your sales, even if it's on part of a day, mm-hmm. to a very large brand such as UFC, who's one of our clients, who's looking to buy hundreds or thousands of screens at a time all across the country.
So if I'm not an injury accident lawyer who takes up billboards in Las Vegas or running a casino, and I just run a chain of laundromats or something like that. Right now, to buy billboard space, it's you don't even know where to start. Is that part of the challenge?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, on a lot of billboards, there might be a little placard that says the name of the outdoor company that owns them. But, you know, the process, you know, still requires that small advertiser to, you know, figure out how to get hold of a salesperson during normal business hours, indicate, you know, which locations they want, figure out a budget that works for them. And all those different steps, where if you add them all up, there's about 12 steps, we think are preventing a lot of advertisers from finding and buying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at what companies like Airbnb and OpenTable have done, where they've opened up these reservation systems where, you know, all size buyers can enter a market and find what they want easily online. Mm-hmm. We're looking to, you know, basically bring that same ease of use to the out-of-home world.
So you're doing the democratization of out-of-home buying.
Exactly right.
You can borrow that phrase from me if you want.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we even are providing the democratization to political campaign buyers, where we democratize even the little candidates are able to now put their campaign dollars to work on mediums that previously were just unobtainable.
Right. So I'm this guy with the laundromat, and mm-hmm. I want to buy media avails in my local area. I'm going to go to adomni.com, and what's going to happen from there? I see something on the top that says find boards.
Sure. Yeah. So you would go to the website and you would put your zip code or city and hit search, you know, just like you would on a hotel booking platform or Airbnb, for example, mm-hmm. and it'll bring up all of the matching inventory within that area. And you can then filter out by media type. So if you really want to focus on large format billboards and ignore everything else, you can do that. By default, you know, for example, if you did a search in Las Vegas, you would see Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, you know, right by the pickup area, digital taxi tops in bars and restaurants, supermarkets, and digital billboards. And it's our belief that to have an effective campaign, you want to spread yourself out across different mediums so that you can have a higher frequency of your message being seen. Mm-hmm. And so we've really simplified that process of searching, adding to the shopping cart, the boards at the times that are meaningful to you, mm-hmm. putting your credit card in, and now you've bought that inventory in a matter of minutes.
And on the media owner side, what are they doing? I assume you have to go into recruitment mode and talk to whoever the media owner is in the local market and say, hey, we would like to be able to sell your media avails. I mean, how does that work? Because they have their own salespeople.
Sure. And that's absolutely, you know, the way it works. So we at Omni is a pure complement to the existing sales force. And in many cases, it actually helps the outdoor company's own salespeople sell better. But basically, there's two ways that we're able to connect. Either the outdoor company can replace their existing CMS and media player system mm-hmm. with ours. We have our own full end-to-end solution. And at that point, you know, all the inventory availability is just in real time, you know, being pulled from our databases. Or if you're running a platform that has API connectivity, we're able to just programmatically retrieve the available times and then also programmatically feed in content and schedules into their existing CMS. So it really depends.
So is it sounds like it's primarily a remnant inventory play, where this is the stuff that the direct salespeople, you know, the 20% or 30% that they don't historically manage to sell month to month, that they can then kind of put up on this almost aftermarket and say, hey, these slots are available.
Yeah, I think the term remnant over the years kind of got a bad rep. Uh-huh. Just it, some people associate that with discounted rates. And so we just use the term unsold inventory. Mm-hmm. where, you know, whether you are operating a network that you've had for many, many, many years and have an existing sales force, and you might have 10 to 30 or 40% of vacancy a month, whether you're that, you know, that client, then we're helping sell the unsold inventory. Or if you're a bar restaurant owner and it has a high traffic area that's very targeted, you can add Adomni to the mix and you're unlocking a new revenue stream that you never had before, where it's all of the inventory is being listed and sold through our platform. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it both ways, but you're absolutely right. I mean, at the end of the day, our job is to help fill inventory, to drive up occupancy and drive up revenue yield. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are a lot of clients who, or advertisers out there who appreciate the relationships they have with their salespeople and want to maintain that way of buying. And, you know, our system is being used by those same salespeople to send out proposals and to book reservations the old way, traditional way. But then there's a huge amount of people that aren't buying at all out of home because it's not as easy to buy as Google or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it's our business thesis that by making it as easy as launching a Facebook campaign, you know, you're growing the pie of potential buyers and everyone wins. Mm-hmm. The small advertisers, the agencies, and the board owners.
I would imagine the media sales people at first glance at this are a little jumpy, to say the least. But if it is that unsold inventory, and if they have an understanding that this is the stuff that's going to be bought by the fabled dry cleaner guy or nail salon chain or whatever it is, they tend to be buying customers who they don't, I don't want to say they don't want to bother with, but they're a lot of work for not a lot of yield.
That's absolutely right. You know, so what we're seeing is that a lot of the smaller guys are putting in a daily budget and spreading it across a few medias where you might only have $50, $100 a day mm-hmm. being spent on one location. And it's filling the unsold inventory. So the board owners, you know, says that's great. But for that to go through a manual salesperson and put it through all of the different steps, wouldn't make sense for a lot of companies.
Yeah, especially for the commission-driven guys.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also a tool for them where, you know, they're able to go on the site as a salesperson and see availability and put together packages for their existing clients where it does change the way they operate, but they are able to put out more proposals and drive more reservations because the steps, even for them to find out the information that they need to sell, have also been reduced for them too.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
What does this do to, I don't know whether out-of-home uses CPMs or they've moved on to something else, but what effectively does it do to rates when you've got, you know, the direct sales counterbalanced against this unsold inventory stuff, which I assume is probably going at a lesser price?
Yeah, and we actually position and recommend to our board owners that pricing be at the full rack rate.
Okay.
That, you know, if anything, salespeople should be able to provide potentially a better price mm-hmm. than what we have. But because we're selling differently, you know, you're doing a daily budget, you're filling unsold inventory, we're doing that at full prices, where we've, from our side, we've looked at it more like how digital online advertising is done, where it's either, you know, in the Google world, cost per click. For us here, we've taken out of home, we made it price per ad play. And so you come to the platform and you say, how many ad plays would you like to buy? And when do you want them to be served? Mm-hmm. And with our campaign buying model, which is the programmatic way, we're only charging them after the ads have been served, where it literally is just like Facebook with the way that, you know, or other social channels with the way that's done. So and that's on the campaign side. On the guaranteed reservation side, we have a tiered price model. So if you were to buy a month's worth of ad plays, you would get the lowest price per play. Mm-hmm. So as an example, if it's a $3,500 a month per slot, you know, pricing model, it translates down to 8 cents per play if you were to boil that down for a month. Mm-hmm. But then if an advertiser says, I only want to buy 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I'm a coffee shop, your number of plays as a bucket of plays goes down and your price per play goes up. So you might spend 25 cents per play, but now you can afford it because the overall cost is within your budget. And so that's a big piece of this as well, where board owners are able to increase their overall revenue yield by selling to more advertisers.
Okay. So it seems like I've seen this sort of thing before. You know, not quite the same, but similar, where you've got a company that's using web services-based platforms to kind of roll up all the available inventory in markets and expose them to potential buyers and enable transactions without having to go through a media planner. Am I wrong, or how is this different from some of the guys' names I could rattle off?
Sure. I mean, what we've seen over the last few years in the industry is that the online buying or programmatic, because it's really two different things. You've got programmatic and online direct buying as two separate buying channels. But both of those are still very young in the sense that out of home isn't being bought that way in a large capacity yet. And what's differentiated us from some of the few other companies that are also doing it is, one, our actual user interface, where we've made it as easy as searching and adding to a shopping cart as buying something on Amazon.com or booking a hotel room. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to the point where literally the entire market can use a familiar process to buy, where you don't have to, you know, set up a specialized account and be trained on how to buy, you know, with a person, you know, person-to-person training process. We have also built tools and features into the platform that are unique, such as the ability to create your own ad, just like you're designing something on like a paperless post or Shutterfly greeting card site. Mm-hmm. We've made that process of ad creation very easy. And we've also taken our entire platform and provided it to the outdoor companies or to agencies where they can embed it in their website. Kind of like what OpenTable did for restaurant reservations, mm-hmm. where for us, we just want to create multiple doorways that advertisers can come in and buy the inventory. It doesn't have to just be on AdOmni. It could be on agencies' websites. It could be on the board owner's own website. But the key is just a simple process. And from what we've seen, nobody else is doing it the way that we're doing it now.
Okay. So if I'm driving along a freeway in Phoenix or something, and I see a billboard that looks like a good location, and it says Far West Outdoor underneath, I can go to the Far West Outdoor site. I'm making this up, but in theory, I would be able to find an embedded version of your media buying engine right on the splash page or somewhere else and kind of go to town and book what I want to book.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's a novel concept in the industry now, where if you go to a lot of these outdoor companies' websites, some of them have photos and kind of latitude, longitude of their locations. Mm-hmm. Many do not. Many just have a phone number or contact info for a salesperson. And then the ones that do have a photo and the latitude, longitude, they don't have pricing. They don't have availability. There's no way to buy. Mm-hmm. And so we're empowering, you know, that brand who, you know, thousands and thousands of cars driving by that billboard every day. If they knew that they can go to their website and buy, we think a lot of them would.
So it sounds a little bit like some of the other platforms, rightly or wrongly, I'm not familiar enough with them, have mm-hmm. built these things with media professionals in mind, people who are used to doing this sort of thing, and that's how they're accustomed to seeing stuff, versus what you're saying is this may be a millennial who does marketing for a particular company and uses Uber when he or she travels out of town. Books a room on Airbnb and so on, and they expect to transact in exactly the same way, with this.
Yep, that's an accurate statement for sure. I mean, millennials, where I just read an article that by 2025, 75% of the U.S. workforce will be millennial, and just knowing that they think and act differently, you know, this is something that fits into the way that they operate. Mm-hmm. And the existing media buyers, when given a choice between the existing ways that they're doing their planning and buying versus our way, we really don't think that there's much of a competition. You know, for us as a company, it's growing the network so that buyers can find literally any inventory asset that they're looking for that they passed by or in a market. You know, that's what the limiting factor right now for us.
Okay. So we met a week ago in Austin, 9 a.m. I was still recovering from the night before, and I'd forgotten my digital recorder, so we couldn't do the podcast at that point. But we were sitting outside the expo area for the OAAA Geopath conference. What brought you there, and what was the response? Is that the first time you kind of put yourself in front of the out-of-home industry and at a macro level at a conference?
Sure. So this was our third trade show.
Oh, okay.
That we've done. The first at the OAAA Geopath, though. So we've done a couple Digital Signage Expo events where we had a booth and let the world know. And yeah, this year was the first time there, and we had a really good response. Seems to be, you know, a lot more inventory, digital inventory entering the market, and supply outpacing demand as a whole is what we've been seeing. So having outdoor companies who are looking for ways to fill their inventory more easily, or other related companies such as audience intelligence companies who are looking to plug in their technology to help, you know, us be able to, you know, provide more information for buyers on what they're buying. I think that there's just a lot of excitement, a lot of great response to what we're offering. You know, it's just a new modern way of layering on sales to existing traditional businesses. But out of the show, I mean, we're very optimistic that we'll be onboarding dozens of new clients, you know, media owners, because at the end of the day, our whole business model revolves around a participation of revenue that's been driven by our platform. So it's truly a partnership that we're establishing with every one of our clients.
My understanding of the way media planning has at least historically worked when it comes to digital out of home is I've heard it described that unless your system is somehow integrated with the systems in the largest media planning companies, you know, the holding group kinds of companies, you're dead meat. You'll never tap into those national dollars. Is that accurate and still true, or do you even really care because you're going after the SMB market primarily?
Yeah, I do not believe that to be true. Uh-huh. And we're actually in talks and have clients already working with us that spend significant amounts of revenue and out of home. Mm-hmm. I think everyone is looking for an easier, better solution. And, you know, if we can simplify their life with providing our platform, or if we can connect our platform to their existing system, where the inventory that's on our supply side platform can be findable in their own setup, those are the kind of conversations we're having. You know, it's one of those things, Dave, where this business has been done a certain way for a very long time. And then over the past 5 or 10 years, what's been happening in online and search has just completely shifted the way the game is played. Mm-hmm. And we're only in the infancy of out of home starting to realize that, embrace that. But ultimately, I think that, you know, people aren't going back to the old ways. They're looking for new ways to, you know, execute successful campaigns, to measure audiences, to, you know, deliver value. And we're one of those new ways in the market.
What's the story behind the company?
So there's three founders. I'm one of them, and Jonathan Fine and Bob Stockham are the other two. Bob Stockham was really the first one to come up with the idea He worked for Yesco as one of their top sales guys. And he's responsible for over 1,500 digital billboard screens installs over the past 20 years. And he invested in a few billboards in Las Vegas. And about 7-8 years ago, he approached Jonathan Fine, the other partner, and said, I wish we could sell our unsold inventory online. At any given time, there was always about 20% available space. And Jonathan looked at it and said, yeah, why aren't we doing that? You know, we're still in the age of, I mean, this is 2010 of e-commerce. I mean, it had already taken off. And I got involved 3 years ago. My background is e-commerce. I built and ran a company that was in the printing business that we converted from a catalog business to an online e-commerce company. And I was also on the board of advisors for the local university, UNLV. And I met one of the guys who helped build Zappos.com. Mm-hmm. And together we built AdOmni as the first of its kind of just this really simplified process to find and buy out of home. And we called it AdOmni as a kind of combination of advertise omnipresent, advertise everywhere. And we launched with our first board, one of Bob's boards here in Las Vegas in 2015. And in 2016, we opened our doors to outside paying clients. And today we have over 900 screens in 15 markets that ranges the full gamut of digital screens.
And are you guys privately held? Do you have private equity investors?
So we are privately held, and we were self-funded up until the end of last year.
Okay.
We did a seed round of capital that was an angel round. But the angels that were in that round are all experienced, seasoned private equity and real estate investors. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's where we're at right now. And we've been growing our revenue, growing our network exponentially every month.
Does it matter that you're not in a major, quote unquote, media market like New York, LA, Chicago, that you're in Las Vegas?
So as an e-commerce company, you know, ultimately, it doesn't matter necessarily where you are from the development of your product, but certainly from a launch perspective, Las Vegas was almost the dream environment because there are so many screens. It's a very dynamic market where, you know, shows and restaurants and new hotels are popping up left and right. And, you know, the trade shows alone bring a lot of advertisers who want to put out their name. Where we actually were very fortunate to have Las Vegas be our home territory. But from a rollout perspective, we do have boards in New York, Chicago, LA, Miami, and we'll be, you know, eventually opening offices in all those major markets as well, just to have kind of a local footprint. Mm-hmm. We just added a week ago some Times Square billboards. I don't know if you saw we did a promotion for Mother's Day where for $50 you could show your mom how much you love her on 7,000 square feet of digital screens in Times Square. So yeah, so it's one of those things where, you know, the global market is where we're taking this concept, and, you know, one market at a time, we'll be opening offices in a controlled way.
So what does the next year look like? Is it just a matter of building the amount of inventory you have?
You know, it's a two-pronged approach. We're certainly focused heavily on growing the network. And we're in talks with multiple outdoor companies where we think that within the next year, we should grow from about 1,000 boards to 10 times that amount. Mm-hmm. And as we activate new networks, we invest in marketing and advertising efforts for the local agencies, the local advertisers, to fill those spaces in a market-by-market approach.
What is the addressable market in, let's say, in the U.S. in terms of LED boards that are out there?
Sure. I mean, it depends who you ask, but the OAAA, I know they put out their facts and figures every year. And the last numbers I saw were just shy of 8,000 large format digital billboards. Mm-hmm. And I think on the place-based screens, you know, like your grocery store, supermarket, airport, it's over 1 million digital screens.
Wow.
And one of the things that we're excited about is just, you know, screens are getting cheaper and cheaper to buy and install. And so demand if you look at the growth rate for digital out of home, it's double digit annual growth by almost anyone who's measuring it.
Yeah.
But where we think there's a gap is just, you know, the systems that make those screens available to access and buy is the hole that we're looking to fill by putting Ad Omni in between, you know, the board owners and the advertisers.
Hmm. All right, Jonathan, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. It's great speaking with you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.